Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. The Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Avast, me hearties. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, thanks for tuning in to today's special one-year anniversary presentation of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host and the Robin Hood's Chief Communications Officer, Jaffe Ryder. Approximately a year now after our inception, today's 50th episode marks our first real formal milestone celebration. Who really would have thought we could have made it this far? Then again, we might only just be getting started. Peering out into the distance, via his perch high up in the crow's nest, Pirate Larry figures we're likely even good for at least 100 or so. The allotted 90-minute discussion promises to be both spirited and free-flowing as we stream live from the Howling Wolf Inn. After reflecting on our December 2015 origins, we'll take a look at the show's current state, as well as speculate on what the future holds in store regarding WPRPN and all things related. Our former guests and listeners are, of course, all welcome to join us or call in via today's open lines with any updates or pressing news. As always, your text comments, thoughts, and real-time messages are also welcome. If you have any new, novel ideas for upcoming shows, be sure to let us know. We're always open to exploring fresh creative suggestions, intriguing guest ideas, cutting-edge discussion topics, and captivating show themes. Yeah, 50 episodes. Who would ever have thought? Looking back, having started out back, I guess it was late 2015, just in the lead-up to Christmas time, actually. And we've put a lot of quality product out there for people to listen to and contemplate. Don't you think, Pirate Larry?
We've traveled to 50 islands, and we've met more than 50 strange people telling us strange tales. That's a good journey. That's a good journey there, Jaffe.
Well, yeah, and as was mentioned in the introduction there, of course, we're not done with things yet here, of course. So you've even predicted that maybe we could make it to as many as 100, perhaps. We're halfway there.
Magic 100. That's where we're headed.
That would be something, wouldn't it? Just to remind people here today as well, we're working on getting a good, solid feed from out of the Howling Wolf Inn. Sounding pretty good there for a few minutes, and we seem to have lost the feed, but I'm sure we'll get it back here. We got a few other people besides ourselves mingling around here today as well too. Who've you seen around out and about or in our midst there, Larry? There's a few people that caught my eye, both new faces as well as folks that have visited us and been a part of things in the past.
Yes, we have many, many good friends at the Howling Wolf. That we do.
Chris Brown, of course. Was he off? I think he went off to the bathroom or something, or off to take care of some business off in the wings. And we've also got a new guy, someone that we haven't spoken to before, Bo Keeley, who we're going to be bringing on board here, at least welcoming to our table in just a few minutes. So that's pretty cool too, regarding, you know, upcoming shows and new guests and whatnot. I think Bo's just going to make a quick little kind of just drop in sort of appearance. Are both you guys around here, in fact, now? Do we got Bo and Mr. Brown?
I'm here. Chris Brown is here.
Yeah. All right. So Chris, of course, You were part of an earlier show that we had. Just have to go back through the archives here. I'm not sure if you remember the exact number or not. But how about Bo Keeley? We got him on. I think we got him coming through a speakerphone or something like that, don't we?
Bo Keeley's here. I'm Slab City, California.
Where in California, Bo? Oh, Slab City. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I couldn't quite hear what was said there. So that's great. Yeah. Well, who should we hear from first? We got a lot of other people, a lot of ground to cover here as well. But Bo, we've talked about. We'll come back to you in a second there, Chris. Just sit tight. But Bo, yeah, we've discussed doing a show with you. What do you got in mind exactly? What do you think would be people would want to hear about over the course of say like a 90-minute production?
My life has covered many activities. I've lived in a burrow in the ground on the other side of the bombing range here from Slab City in the Sonora Desert. I was a world traveler into 120 countries. I've hopped freight trains all over the USA, Canada, and Mexico. Published a few books. So, you know, you can pretty much pick a plate off the smorgasbord, and I'll be happy to talk about it.
You even, apparently, word has it, taught Elvis how to play a little racquetball. Is that not the case?
His music didn't appeal to me, but his verve did. He could move and shake, and later on in life, when I became a professional racquetball player in the 70s, in the golden era, Elvis built his own court at Graceland. And a lot of the guys that I knew played him. Although I had an offer to join his group, I declined it, because I already had another sponsor, Leech Industries. But it led to a book I published about a year ago called The Humor of Elvis Presley. Elvis liked, above all things, he liked girls, of course, guitars, and he liked sports. And his second favorite sport after football was racquetball.
Well, how about that? Yeah. Myself actually been a big Elvis fan for quite a few years, and we've got a number of books here in the ship's library. Here on the Robin Hood, so yeah, really looking forward to that. I think that'd be a lot of fun and a great opportunity to share your stories with a wider audience. If that's something that you're hip to.
Well, my stories about Elvis aren't personal. As I said, what I did was, I got involved in a film about Elvis called The King's Court, because he did like racquetball, and he was decent at it. So I was the consultant on that 2 years ago, and through that I wrote a book called Elvis's Humor. Perhaps his fourth greatest endeavor in life was his sense of humor.
Right, yeah, sure.
Pranks and jokes dark humor. I had no personal contact with him. My contact with him was through about six racquetball players who used to hang on around Graceland.
Right. Yeah, what we're talking about, though, as far as stories go, not just Elvis necessarily, that's a chapter in your life, really, I guess, when it comes right down to it. But, you know, riding the rails. That's the old Woody Guthrie kind of hobo thing there, I guess, and thumbing rides along the way from one town to the next along the highways and byways and so forth. It's kind of sounds like you've done a lot of that, and maybe even still do. Don't you spend a lot of time out in the hills, kind of camped out and up in caves and tents and all kinds of remote places?
In 1985, I walked into the Ogden, Utah yard. Ogden, as you may recall, Americans will recall, is a promontory point, was a midpoint junction of the first transcontinental rail that ran between Sacramento and Council Bluff. It opened up the West during the Civil War. So I got on a train there in Ogden, and I rode what's called the Feather Canyon route through the Great Basin, over the Rockies, and on into Sacramento. There's a saying in the hobodom that once you ride a freight train, you're hooked. Since that time, I've caught about 360 trains and taught a hobo class. I wrote a book called The Executive Hobo. I have a website. You can Google Bo Keeley Executive Hobos, where I do take executives out on the rails sort of as a coming out experience.
There's also said to be, from what I understand, sort of a hobo's cant, as is you know, the case with the pirates, of course. I've been learning a little bit about that over the past year. Just the basics, certain, you know, basic phrases and whatnot. But yeah, like a certain, like a hobo scrawled, pictures and, you know, hieroglyphs and kind of coded, what appear to others just as scrawls or scribbles, but really they mean something to those with the eyes to see.
You're probably referring to the hobo symbols. Prior to the 1950s, hobos used to scratch their monikers, that is their name, and symbols on the water tanks, because those were the days of the steam trains up through about 1955. So, for example, he would scratch, my moniker is a little mouse with a teardrop and a smile. In fact, I have a tattoo of that on my left shoulder. So I might scratch that, and I have scratched it on overpasses and skid rows around America, and then a little arrow and a date over the arrow, and then the name of the town that I'm headed toward. Then when somebody comes up later on and sees that, they can hook up down the line. Those are called hobo symbols.
Right, absolutely. So I'm not sure if you're hearing much on your end of things, Pirate Larry. It's a little staticky, though, with his signal and so forth cutting out. We're having to do this in a roundabout kind of way, folks, not streaming directly through Skype today with Bo, but because of his setup at the moment through Pirate Larry's speakerphones via Ensenada down in Baja. And, of course, you know, Bo once again up in Slab City, California, I guess just right on the outskirts of the little I'm not sure if you call it like a Mad Max sort of commune or what it is exactly, but it's quite Vice. I know Vice documentaries have covered it, as have numerous other documentary filmmakers. So a bit of a rave going on tonight from what he shared with us here today. So I'm not sure if we should maybe hold it there for the time being or not, Bo, but today, of course, is our 50th episode. We're hoping to, we got a lot of ground to cover here, a lot of different issues and whatnot to hit on. But we want to thank Bathtub Jen, of course, too. Jennifer Knight, Gonzo journalist supreme, for hooking us up, actually. She was the one who drew you to our attention. How well do you know Jen?
I was living in a warehouse in Colorado about 10 years ago, and I got a call at nighttime on the telephone from a gal who identified herself as Jennifer, who knew somebody who knew somebody. And she said, I just want to talk. And she talked very well. She turned out to be a writer. She turned out to be a very good writer. Believe it or not, I've never met Jennifer Knight. A lot of similar experiences, and have talked many times on the phone and by email.
Yeah, so that's really great, you know. Big shout out to her, of course, and a big thanks. So let's try to do this, more of this another time for sure. You can kind of hang out there in the wings if you want. Enjoy, treat yourself to a grog if that's your thing or what have you. But, I'm not sure what plans you've got for yourself here for the rest of the night. The show though itself, we're going to carry on here about the next, you know, it's a 90 minute kind of deal here today. So, once again, though, you're more than welcome to kind of be a part of things there and lurk around the background. And I'm not sure if you got YouTube access or not. That channel is open there, though, streaming live via the web. And we have, right at the moment, Kelly Freeman actually showed up out of the blue. So that's really great. Not sure who else we have in there at the moment. Hopefully a few others to join here as time goes on. But Pirate Larry, what do you think? Bo, definitely going to make for a great show, a great feature item.
It'll be a great show, yeah. A lot to talk about, a lot of, like, real Americana, real history, what's going on the ground.
Just let me know. I'll get in a better place where you might hear me better next time. Right now I'm sitting in a rent-a-car at some sand dunes outside Slab City. Over the hill here, there's a rave going on and fireworks. So I'll listen a little bit and then duck away from your table and go on to the rave.
you're always welcome at our table here, brother. You're always welcome.
Okay.
So next time, though, we'll have to look for a little more pirate credentials. We didn't get that from Bo today. Maybe next time, though, as we attempt, or he attempts to board the Robin Hood. So, And for listeners that don't know, how does that work exactly, Larry?
We're in the Howlin' Wolf Inn, so your only credentials have to be that you're thirsty. To get on the Robin Hood ship, we usually need a pirate tale or some pirate story or some jig, you know, a little song, tune, anything, you know, to help keep the crew going and happy.
So that hopefully won't be a problem. Bo, I think you can come up with something like that quite easily. Just quickly before you go, though, what have you had an interest at all over the years regarding the history of pirates out on the high seas? Or I guess more bringing things a little more up to speed as, you know, the way things stand here in the current digital age. Anything just off the top of your head you can think of?
Riding the rails is a lot like sailing in the seas, only it's a little bit smoother when the wind blows. And Slap City, where I live and have lived for the last 2 years, is an outlaw town. It's the mecca of anarchism in America. And so that might qualify me as a pirate since I'm the mediator of disputes in Slap City as of late.
Jeez, bullseye. Yeah, I think the captain would probably, he'd probably figure that would
put you high on the qualifications.
That'll do it for sure. Okay, Bo, well, all the best. We'll be in touch again shortly and work on trying to kind of get something more definitive in place with as far as the future of the spring and summer schedule goes. But very much looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great show. You have yourself a great night, and if you're still lurking around here in the Howling Wolf Inn over the course of the balance of the show, that we'd be happy to bring you back into the conversation if that's the case. If not, all the best and happy sailing.
Have fun, and I'm raving. Have a good time.
All right.
All right.
Bon voyage. So I guess, yeah, he's off to take part in a little more of the raving festivities. Over there. Where exactly now? I know he said, he explained it to me a time or two, but where is Slab City exactly there, Larry, in California?
You know, it's got to be out in the desert somewhere. I've never been there, but I'm sure it's out in the desert.
Out in the desert. Well, I guess speaking of deserts, there was a pretty big a mega rock bash just a couple months ago with, was it Bob Dylan and, you know, all the big names, the old kind of rock and roll dinosaur types, I guess, as they're often so fondly referred to. Roger Waters and Pink Floyd was there and McCartney and I'm not sure who else. Chris Brown, did you hear about that one?
No, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. So, of course, desert, think of desert. I think of Joshua Tree. Places, you know.
I think of Joshua Tree. And
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Coachella, you know, which is up by Palm Springs, but I think Slab City is like closer to the border between California and Nevada.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, doesn't get more pirate than Slab City, I guess, and that's kind of what we're all about, frankly, in the spirit of liberty, you know, yeah. free expression, and all those other sort of good things, just laissez-faire, live and let live. Although the whole, let's not forget too, there does come a time when people need to rally together, and as a crew or as a team, in a lot of ways we're bound to one another. Standing, working, and fighting in the cause of, well, I mean, just you name it. You could just purely for pillaging and booty reasons. I think the Robin Hood more, it's about justice in a lot of cases, of course. So standing for what's right and what's, you know, when people are being done, you know, there's wrongdoings,
yeah, it's like,
taking place.
I look at the news and I look at, you know, TV, and it's like everybody's gone crazy, Chappie. Everybody's gone absolutely nuts.
Well, that's the problem. Turn off the goddamn TV. And things
they're pointing fingers at one another, you know. They're getting ready to call each other, I don't know, all kinds of things. People need conversations that, you know, just aren't about all this blame and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they go into, you know, the freedom of a pirate radio podcast and the freedom to just, I mean, we can talk about life, we can talk about politics, but we're not going to be slitting each other's throats, trying to get to the top, you know, trying to own the last word. You know, that's what confounds me about modern discourse, I suppose, these days.
Yes, indeed. So a number of things going on here at the present moment, including an effort to add James West. That might be happening in just a moment here. Hopefully he's good to go. Yeah, regarding, you know, Slab City and other places, other venues or locations, different projects, environments, alternative living experiments or what have you. One of the keys, I think, is looking out for each other, really. You know, there's certain codes. There are certain codes that are in place, and they're kind of almost universal cosmic codes, really, if you think about it. They're no-brainers.
They have these festivals where they tell you pack in and pack out. You know, whatever you brought in, you take with you. You know, you take your potato chip bags, you take your, you know, beer cans, you take whatever, you know, you take it out with you. You brought it, you take it out. And so then they don't have problems cleaning up, you know, large festivals.
The rainbow gatherings, I think, throughout the years, there's been multiple events that they've taken that name and spirit and so forth. That's kind of one of the things that is kind of, you know, important and central to the way that they operate, that you've got to do that, yeah? I mean, it's which is kind of sad, because here, it's unfortunately, places like Korea, man, the college and university students...
Excuse me.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Yeah. People just throwing their crap everywhere, going in, having a great time, spending the evening picnicking on the lawn somewhere, and maybe on the university campus, down on a beach, you know, just, you know, where have you, and just leaving a total mess behind. Like, I don't understand. Is it a parental thing, or I don't know exactly. But anyways, I'm not sure if you want to address that. We can kind of move on just in a minute or so from that old business. But
you know, well, that philosopher thing, I keep going back to this video of he was actually a psychologist, but he studied philosophy, and he was very into Nietzsche, and he said, you know, Nietzsche said that with the death of the god, humanity had two dangers. One was total tyranny, and the other was total nihilism. And in a way, they work together. I mean, if you have tyrants at the top, you have people that are like, let's burn it down and start all over again at the bottom, right? It just seems like when you make disposable things and you make disposable people, then, you know, people don't care about each other, and they don't care about, you know, leaving the planet better for the next person, you know? I mean, that happens when the only value you have is money. If that's the only value you have, then, you know, you gotta go get that money. But, it's a kind of a disease with, going to get that money. A focus, you know, that is unaware of you throwing coffee cups out of your van or whatever.
It's interesting when you look at that word too, dis-ease. A lot of people, it just kind of goes over their heads, but it literally means that you're not, something's out of place. It's not as smoothly functioning or flowing, or you're not as comfortable as you could be, right? There's something that could be done to make things flow along a little more easily, right? And whether it's health or your mental state of mind or what have you. Go ahead.
Yeah, ease is healing, you know.
Hey, listen, who do we got? It sounds like we got James West, actually. Did he manage to, is that him? Hey. He's coming over to the table. Come on over, James. Yeah, grab a seat.
All right. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Yeah, here at the show number 50. So just going to try to look back a little bit on our roots and origins, as well as kind of take a assessment of where things are at the moment here with this whole the show and the wider enterprise, as well as what may be in the cards here as far as the future is concerned. So thanks for dropping by.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Right on. Did you manage to check out, or did you hear Bo Keeley? He's dropped in there.
Yeah, actually heard the, I heard most of it there on the live stream.
Yeah, I'm not sure if anything that he had to share there managed to kind of catch your ear or not, but definitely looking forward to that. What a life, huh? So, you know, just, and that's the American spirit, though, really. That's the historic, the individualist, rugged, and self-sufficient people just doing it their way without, you know, without screwing others over or messing them over or, you know, doing any others harm, really. Just leading a life of adventure and freedom and maybe some, like, a romantic kind of, almost like a Dharma bum, really, sort of, you know, kind of lifestyle, really. Has anyone ever read that book, Dharma Bums, Jack Kerouac?
Not myself, huh?
You have to, you know, check it out at some point. You might get a bit of a kick out of it. So we're going to start streaming a little original music here. That's one of the shows that we've got lined up, of course, is the World Music Indie Showcase 2.0 coming up probably, as was mentioned earlier, within the next month to 6 weeks. But and all kinds of different ideas here and programs and concepts in mind. So, but the weather's died down a little bit there, has it, Pirate Larry? You're having some storm issues there and put risk of electrical outages. Or did we lose him again? Is he there? Did we lose did his power get knocked
maybe,
out?
Again? Maybe we did.
Look at that.
No, I'm back.
Okay.
The rain is pretty steady.
All right.
But the wind's down. So yeah. We're still here. We're okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it was over Christmas or the New Year's that they actually lost. I mean, this morning you lost power for what? 4 hours, you're saying?
Yeah, it's 4 hours. Yeah.
Bit of a blowout there. So anyone else experiencing any extreme weather?
Not here. Not in Oregon.
How about in Virginia there, James?
Nope. In fact, tomorrow it's supposed to be 60.
Well, how about that?
So no, it's pretty mild.
That's good to hear then, I guess. It's surprisingly, we got these crystal blue skies here today, which is always good to see, covering this peninsula here in South Korea. It's kind of a mixed bag, though, really. What I find, actually, been watching lately, just kind of taking a look at things, and they try to sneak those chemtrails in with the dimming end of that whole business, and seems to be going on geoengineering and so forth through, you know, HARP and what have you. The whole ball of wax there. We covered a lot of that whole discussion material, of course, with a show we did back with Suzanne Marr. Oh, I'm not sure what episode that was exactly. I have to go back to the archives, maybe 35 or 6. There's other days, I tell you, man, where it's like one from one extreme to the next. But I do notice with the chemtrails, they really try to sneak them in. They really do. And they just kind of lay there and just kind of drift around. They, you know, drift around and just kind of hang out there in the clouds in the sky for a long, long time. Today, crystal blue, man. Not a cloud to be seen. So how about that? So what
Suzanne
do you
got? Did it.
Yeah, go ahead.
She's doing great stuff. She's doing great stuff. You know, you can find her on her Facebook page, and she's always posting new information. They're finding out more scientific evidence about what's in that stuff, and it doesn't look really good.
No,
it seems to be a United Nations operation, and you know, people really need to question its purpose and its funding.
Silent weapons for quiet wars. Full spectrum dominance. Hashtag FSD. That's a good place to start if people want to look into things a little more and see exactly what perhaps is going on in plain sight, right in front of them. So flagrant, and just a lot of chutzpah there, for sure, a lot of chutzpah. But let's just quickly, because speaking of former guests and whatnot, this is one of the topics, one of the things that we wanted to talk about today, is we actually reached out to as many of our former guests as we could in the lead-up to today's discussion, including James, who, of course, you know, you've been here, what, a couple times as a co-host, as I recall, and a guest.
At least two times.
Yeah. Over the course, like Operation Secret Santa, we're going to want to get into that a little bit here today, just kind of rehash things and kind of just a bit of a general kind of assessment of how that went and so forth. So here's what happened, though. We sent out these, you know, letting people know that we're having our 50th here today, and it was great. We had Ken Thomas got back to us, William Ramsey. A lot of people got back to us, in fact, but the three main authors who really kind of jumped out at me in particular were Todd Brendan Fahey, Ken Thomas, and William Ramsey. So people can go back into the archives if they want and see the shows, listen to the shows that we did with them, and look forward, hopefully, to revisiting something along similar lines. They've all expressed an interest in doing so for the 2017 together here. And, of course, we'll cover a lot of new material. I don't really, it's always good to revisit what you've already kind of addressed in former shows, but you want some fresh talking points and material that you can more freely hash over. Speaking of pirates and code. yes. Who else do we got here? Oh, Fukushima special coming up as well, too. Let's not forget. Does anybody recall the date? It was in March back in, 2010? Fukushima? Kind of world went to hell over there.
Yeah, I just think it was 2010.
10 or 11, yeah. So we're going to have Lord Stompy is actually someone who, James, you know Lord Stompy, don't you?
Of course.
Oh, okay. It just gets to the point where I'm kind of like, who's met who and who's a what the hell? And it's a little confusing at times here. So if people have, and once you've been kind of introduced, then it's great. We can just, we're off to the races, right? So it's pretty much clear sailing from there. Generally, there's a few turds in the punch bowl from time to time, but what can you do? Lori Love, of course, Pirate Larry, we got him on our radar too, let's not forget, as well as, who's this, the Barrett Brown, is that his name, this other kind of a stealth, kind of a hacking, sort of a computer whiz kid kind of character, what's the deal there?
People should go to the internet and they should look up Free Lori, it's hashtag Free Lauri, and they should find the organization that is supporting him and his legal fight to, Lori Love is an Asperger's, victim, survivor, who, as a young kid, he hacked into DOD and NSA. He's a lot like Gary McKinnon. I mean, if you look at how Gary McKinnon got in, he got in, they were running net bios on the DOD computers that were connected to the internet. So that was very easy to hack. It was a well-known, leak in the network as far as Microsoft knew. But I guess they didn't tell DOD about it. And so there were kids who were getting into the Department of Defense. That was back in the heydays of kids doing that. So this was Lori Love is one of them, and he definitely deserves some support. And then Barrett Brown, he was thrown in jail for linking to a website.
That guy. Fucking link.
He's a brilliant writer. He's a brilliant writer.
Oh, man.
I mean, and his writings in jail are very witty, very funny. I mean, he's kind of a guy that if you put him in jail, you'll never put him in jail because his imagination is so amazing. But Barrett Brown, and I'm not sure he can talk to people right now because he's still under parole. He's out. He was going to serve, 63 months or something like that, just for a link. It was a link to, Stratford stuff or whatever. And apparently there were credit cards or something like that. And, but it proved to me that the CEOs who are running America are blind and don't give a damn about engineering. They just really don't care. They only care about making Wall Street happy, making their investors happy, and whatever it takes. And they really don't give a damn about engineering. Because if these things could be hacked as easily as they were, it meant our security could have been threatened at any time. So, yeah, that's become an issue, whether they'll do anything about it, whether they'll put any money into security and encryption. Who knows? But I think the rest of the world is looking at encryption. I know Minds.com is you know, in the foreground with having encrypted messaging. So, these issues were raised, but yeah, Barrett Brown was like, I don't know, he created a precedent for the government grabbing you and throwing you in jail for posting a link. That's a pretty scary precedent. And Lori Love is in Britain. He's fighting extradition. He has done a lot to create white hat hackers groups. He's taught white hat hackers groups how to, you know, prevent DDoS attacks and how to be more secure. So he's a valuable person. And he doesn't belong in the justice system. He belongs, you know, doing what he's doing, which has great value, teaching people how, you know, not to get their computers or their networks hacked.
Yeah, indeed. For people listening via YouTube, live streaming, end of things that we have running at the moment, that, of course, that was Matt Steady, actually, from his Feels Like Coming Home release this past year. Actually, No More Blood in the Stone. Matt has actually given us permission to play his music, so that's exactly what we're doing. There's so much great indie music here that has been coming our way as of late, and that just generally is, of course, is out there, that we're more than happy to promote any of these artists that show themselves to be talented to any one extent or the next. So, but quickly, yeah, going back to this business of Lori Love and, is it Barrett Brown? Is that his name, or Barrett Browning?
Barrett Brown.
Barrett Brown.
B-R-O-W.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's
his, just hashtag Barrett Brown, all one word, and you'll find him.
This business of, we had some links sent to us by some friends or associates or just maybe fans or supporters, I guess you'd say, probably supporters of his, just out of the blue. I mean, it's like we didn't really solicit them so much as they just were presented to us, and we're gonna take those and run with it, of course, and build a show around the whole business of this hacking thing. Is ridiculous, frankly, because, I mean, Russia did it, blame Russia. Well, you know what? I think everybody's hacking computers, are they not? It's like every possible, you know, at all levels.
If I'm Russia and I'm in your servers, you're the last person that I want to know, right? I don't want you to ever know that I'm in your servers or how I got there.
They don't even need to do it directly, though. They could just do it through a proxy that they farm out.
The worst are the Chinese, you know, old websites, and they have a leak, and all of a sudden you get a million, like, you know, bad accounts that are in Chinese. Take over your website, and they try to sell all their stuff in Chinese.
Well, look at what just happened to Skype not so long ago. I mean, I think it's all these crazy Baidu spam links from presumably, or under the guise of being from a friend or someone on your contact list, which as it turns out is just they've had their accounts hacked. They've been hijacked. I mean, it could be the U.S. doing it, or anybody, like a kind of false flag sort of deal too. You don't know. I mean, who knows? It's just like, hey, it's China. Hey, hi, we're Baidu. We're, you know, when really it's like, ha ha ha, the joke's on you. It's like Israel or somebody like that, just messing with people.
Could be. So,
who knows?
Could be. And that's why you need good engineers like Lori Love, who can, you know, teach the brain dead CEOs of the world and also the chief information officers of the world. They're all looking at, oh, big data, let me collect it all. But they're not battening down their own hatches, you know. So when it rains, it pours. And when it pours, it leaks. And when it leaks, you know, you're like manning the buckets. But you've got to, you know, put the ship into dry dock and fix all the holes. And that's what they're not doing. This is what, as, you know, somebody who's worked with engineers and who knows, like, how smart they are and how capable they are, to see us taking, you know, the best talent in the world and prosecuting them so we don't have to admit that, you know, our system was full of holes. You know, it's like, oh, the embarrassment of admitting that our system was full of holes is much worse, you know, for us than, you know, going out and making this guy a criminal, public enemy number one. Yeah.
I'm thinking, why am I thinking cottage cheese? Or cheddar cheese or Swiss cheese, I guess. There, that's what you're speaking full of holes. It's like, oh, I don't know. It's, you know, Swiss cheese to the nines. So through the roof. But you guys, Chris or James, any thoughts on these matters? We're going to keep things kind of moving along here. About a little more than 40 minutes left to what we've kind of laid out for ourselves here as far as today's 50th celebratory show is concerned. And we've yet to even go back really into the origins, really, and where the inception, where things came from. But go ahead, you guys. Chris?
Yeah, they you know, I'm not much of a politics guy, but I do have to say that the hacking thing and all that is become a real fiasco. And yes, my Skype got hacked too, with the link a few months back, and was really irritating, and sent it all to my contacts. And so, yeah, these people can do anything anywhere. You just don't know. And so, yeah, it's a screwed up world, man. It sucks.
What happened exactly? What were the specifics? Like, was it some spam sent out in your account or something?
Well, what it was is I had a buddy, just saw what you said. I had a buddy sent me in on his Skype a link. I didn't expect anything. I thought, oh, well, what's he sending me? And it didn't look like anything real deadly or anything, I guess, tainted. So I clicked into it, and bam, there it ended up being a bad link. So it was the virus. And see, it went to everybody. So
executive file, or I mean, I'm not really too much of an expert on any of this, the viruses or whatnot.
But well, neither am I. So you got me on that one. I don't even know what that is. All that I know is it's just a virus. So.
Joe, for those links you click on, people, it's like you never know where they're going to lead to. And, anyways, how about yourself there, James? Any thoughts on the whole business of hacking and so forth? The big blame game too, finger pointing.
Yeah, if you're a government, you don't leave a trail. That's just the thing. You don't leave a trail back. You don't leave a breadcrumb trail back to yourself.
Or yeah, that's false, not how you hack. False flag. It'd be false flag. Hey, it's we're Pakistan. We're Pakistan. Really, it's like
it's never the company. Yeah. It's never the state that it looks like the most. It's usually not the one it looks like. But that's how hacking goes.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting too the way the finger pointing and the blame game? It's such a pack of lies. Frankly, there's no credibility there at all. It seems.
But yeah, there was no credibility to start with, and it was a big joke from the get-go.
How much late-night comedians like Stephen Colbert and whatnot, all these guys, they love to bash Trump any chance they get, of course, never giving him a single bit of credit. And not that he's not, you know, of course, there's blame to go around with policies and you know, the political end of things are concerned. I'm not a big fan of it presently. Like, I'm kind of wondering what he's got in mind there with the Middle East and the whole business, the way he stacked his cabinet and the people just kind of surrounding him with you know, just more neocons is what it seems. And a lot of people like these, I'm not sure, these Ashkenazi.
Can I touch on that for a second?
Yeah, I mean, that's your specialty. Go ahead.
The thing is it's like a triangle. It's like a death triangle that got set up right now. You want to defend one side when one side is being hypocritical. But at the other side of the spectrum, you know, this other group is being hypocritical in another way, just as equal as the other group, and is going in a death triangle, drawing you into it.
You're talking about Middle East policy in particular now, or what?
I'm talking about the whole Trump scenario to begin with.
Well, but he's got all kinds of policies, though. Like, what policy were we talking about? Like, do you see how he kept the former, some former cabinet guy or high level, like a czar or what have you, that was, he's gay, apparently, appointed by Obama, and he's keeping him.
All financial positions under Donald Trump are former members of Goldman Sachs.
Right.
And that have been charged for felonious crimes in the past. Of bribery and theft and I don't know the technical terms for them, but if you want to look into it, there's a video by James Corbett of the Corbett Report called How Trump Filled the Swamp, and that tells you all about his cabinet. Jeez. His cabinet is completely establishment, and it's almost more establishment than Obama's cabinet, which is funny to say the least.
All right, okay, so let's So that aside, what about the policies? Like, things like, he's anti-vaccination, is he not? And what is this thing with the TPP?
He is anti-vaccination.
Yeah, the TPP was canceled the day after he won the presidency. Yes? What's that say?
Well, it says you have to appease your voters.
Yeah. I mean, because that's what the platform that he ran on, correct? So, I don't want to get into the whole, the particulars and whatnot, because it gets kind of messy, of course, but with this so-called anti-Muslim ban, which is not really, it kind of is, but for some reason, Saudi Arabia got left out of the picture. And why is he not saying anything about these dual Israeli-American citizens? Like, holy shit. You talk about troublemakers. My God. I mean, you know. Just a total blind eye. So, but why don't you just quickly tackle or address that business of Saudi Arabia being just conveniently overlooked when they were the central players as far as this whole business of 9/11 and 28 pages are concerned. And even that, of course, is a limited hangout. They're just only giving you half the picture with that whole business with the 28 pages. But what are your thoughts on the way he's dealing with the Saudi monarchy to this point?
Right, right. So, the thing you have to realize when it comes to the establishment we have and the policy that we have in the Middle East is that you have liberal elites, which are separated from your normal elites. Then you have the Zionist elites, mostly the neocons, the conservatives, that will follow the policy of Israel and institute policy that can go towards the greater Israel project or in that general direction. This is something that you always see with the conservatives, but it's not just one group. There's not just one Illuminati in control of the United States or the world. There's different opposing factions that will work with each other. You had Obama pushing a lot of the Zionist policies during his administration, but on the contrary, he did things that were counter to the Israeli agenda or the Zionist agenda, such as the Iran nuclear deal, which puts a policy in place to where the United States is forced to defend Iran if they ever come under attack, which prevents Israel from ever waging war against that country. So that's completely counter to Israel, because then the United States would be forced to defend. So it's not just Zionist versus the world or Illuminati versus the world. There's these counter factions that want to be in control. So you have to consider that. You have to keep that in your mind when you're thinking about these policies. So there is back and forth. There really is push and pull, like it would be Democrats versus Republicans. So people get caught up in that game thinking one side is the right side, but they're both equally evil in their own ways, in their own rights, not at the benefit of the people. They're just trying to benefit each group for their own gains.
Sure. Big game of chess, and not everyone has always seen the larger picture, of course, too, as I think you're trying to emphasize there. So we'll talk more politics here later over the course of the next number of, you know, upcoming feature shows that we do here throughout the spring and summer to one degree or another. But in the meantime, let's see what we got happening here. So let's talk, the origins. Is everyone clear on the origins of how did Pirate Radio Podcasts come along in the first place? And by the way, we do have a few more people, of course, too, in the streaming YouTube area. You know, we had five people, believe it or not, at one point there. So I'm not sure how many there are at the present moment, but a few. Got a couple, handful of, we got five upvotes as well, too, for what we're managing to put together here, as far as our production today is concerned. Joe Eminon, of course, dropping by and joining us in the chat area. Not sure if he's going to be able to make the after show, if that's what if we get around to putting something like that together today or not. But, of course, the old standards streaming slideshow on the go as well too here for people to enjoy. So let's see what we got here. Kelly Freeman, no Dapple. There we go. So letting his voice be heard. And that, of course, no Dapple, that refers to what exactly, Pirate Larry? I think you know a little bit about that, don't you, as far as current events are concerned?
Dakota Access Pipeline. Looks like what Trump said is, if you're going to make a pipeline, you better make it out of U.S. steel. So they said, okay. And then he allowed the Army Corps of Engineers to go ahead and give the, the approval, the permit to dig under the lake. There are still protests. The vets are still out there protesting, and there are, legal cases pending, demanding an environmental impact statement and demanding that the United States government adhere by the treaties that it signed with the Native American tribes. So if we're going to start blowing up treaties, I don't know, maybe that's part of Trump's agenda. But when it comes to the tribes, I think that, they've given enough, and poisoning the water is not a good engineering idea. You might take trucks off the road, and that's good for the environment if you got a pipeline. Unless they can show me, that they can control a leak, which they can't. Again, we got leaky boats, Jaffe. We got leaks all over the place. Everything's leaking.
Everything is broken, Bob Dylan. So, but yeah, we'll be we'd be more than happy to have put a feature show together covering this whole business of the what's happening down there in North Dakota. It's been on the go for the last number of months, of course. Pretty high profile issues, or as far as current issues are concerned. Although the mainstream press seems to be a little reluctant to give, are they picking up on it a little bit more? I know that Obama's daughter headed out there, and a few other celebrities. Go ahead.
I haven't seen a lot of it here on the news lately of any protests about the pipeline or anything. But I was going to say that I know a friend that does a little radio, and she's been on and talked about it. And she's a Native American, and she's talked about the pipeline and all that. And so I can hook you up with her for a future guest if you need, when you want to do a show.
Hey, by all means. In fact, we could even, we're not even sure if we're going to do a show next week as far as all of this is concerned, simply because we've kind of, Pirate Larry and I have talked about it. We've run it past the captain, and he said, fine, if we want to maybe just take a bit of a breather and step back and do a little bit of, inventory and house cleaning and so forth to get things a little more in order here, that we can do that next week. But we'll just kind of have to play it by ear, I guess. But yeah, by all means, Chris, that sounds great. If you feel
she knows a lot of Native Americans that I don't know what her connection is, but I know she has some connections on the Native Americans that were there at the protests and stuff. So she's a little info on it, so she's got some stuff she might want to hear.
She's been there actually on location and talking with people. Is she like a journalist herself, or what?
Oh, no, she hasn't been there. No, she's just a Native American. She hasn't been there. She just is, knows some people, I think, that were over there, and kind of has made some inside scoop. So, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's definitely, even maybe if she wasn't the best person for the job necessarily, or feeling up to it, she could in turn, as you say, just kind of help to put us in touch with somebody that's got a little more experience as far as doing interviews and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
So yeah, definitely. All right. Well, we're kind of just, once again, this is working on producing shows here, just kind of live and on the fly. What better way to do that? Why not? So we do have quite a few shows coming up, of course, too, just on top of everything, and to the point really where we could almost, if we had more of a production and technical crew in place, people out there listening, if you're interested, we are looking for folks that are able to maybe help out and contribute, volunteer. There's some small piecemeal work that we are able to pay for as well. Show production and the post end of things, and you name it, just use your imagination. So I think the best thing for people to do is drop by the FAQ page that we have off of WPRPN. That, of course, stands for Chris James. Do you know what that's James? I think you know what that stands for. Chris, this is what is it? We'll play 20 questions here with you, or at least one question. Do you know what WPRPN stands for?
I know what WPRP in Cincinnati stands for, but no, I don't.
That would be WPRK, wouldn't it? WPRK.
I thought it was WKRP.
WKRP? Yeah, WPR. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, WPRPN, World Pirate Radio Podcast Network. So, there you go. And then, you know, /FAQs. So, we'll throw that into the show notes. People can check that out at their leisure. And it's basically, we're running things here on a voluntarism, really. People that are interested in being a part of things or chipping in or helping out in any capacity, that they're generally more than welcome. So James, I know he's helped out a little bit here with artistic design and technical support on a couple of occasions. And Amanda, of course, from Minds.com. And I mean, Pirate Larry's been here holding down the co-hosting end of things, and just a whole number of people. Who am I forgetting, Larry? There's so many. Operation Secret Santa, which we could maybe get into now, if we haven't left out anything that we've just kind of passed over in a little bit too much of a rush. Is there anyone else we're missing out on there, Larry, outside of Operation Secret Santa, which, as I said, maybe we can dive into here for the next couple minutes? But general assistance. I know, well, it's a big shout-out here, a lot of gratitude and thanks to our regular listeners, of course, the Pirate Crew folks out there, just part of the Rogues Gallery, really, as it were. So Joe Eminon and Joe 333 and so on and so forth. So
a shout-out to Pirate Aaron, you know, who was, like, there in the beginning. Pirate Mary, who's off doing her own blog now and doing her own thing. And a shout out to Bathtub Jen,
Carolyn Rose Goida, don't forget too. Yeah, Bathtub Jen, absolutely.
And Teresa Clayton, mm-hmm. who gave us a wild ride on Halloween. That was fun.
That was great. That was excellent. Yeah, all of our guests, of course, too. So we got the archive page here that we could quickly just give a bit of a rundown to. So has everyone seen the RSS feed? That's the kind of the best way. We're over affiliated with Podomatic, of course. That's where we've got our PayPal set up. We don't really plug it too much, and you know, maybe we should try to get more into the habit of doing that. But for anyone that is interested in just maybe offering or helping out with a bit of a donation, that's where you can find our PayPal button and do it that way. So it's all right now at this particular moment done on strictly a donation kind of a basis, that way of doing it. So it's just right there on the side, though, as you scroll down the side of our Podomatic archive page. So most recently, of course, you had Tom Schaefer. Before that, David Allen Zimbach, Lord Stompy. We did the Knights Templar and Oak Island special back episode 45 with Jordan Bone Party. Justice for Michelle. That was Amanda from Mines. That she really kind of helped provide all the information and details mostly for that one. So Operation Secret Santa. And I mean, that's just, the list goes on. People have to check it out for themselves and see what they like. We've been putting a fair deal of time into post-production versus just the raw kind of streaming feed, which at times can be quite, what's the best word? Well, amateur is one of the words that comes to mind for sure. Although I think we are upping our game on a few fronts. And you would think by the time we hit the 50th show, bit of a milestone there too, once again, that whatever you're doing, whether you're taking piano lessons or taekwondo or cooking or maybe making love to your wife, even some romantic night and beautiful location or what have you, that by the 50th time you try it, you know, maybe getting a little bit more a feel for things and a touch of expertise, perhaps even a spark of something or another. So, but let's see what else we've got going on here. Anything you guys, Chris or James, you want to kind of plug or throw out there as things that come to mind? And we are gonna steer back over to Operation Secret Santa here in just a second. But before we do that, anything you really want listeners to know about that we've got coming up here, set for us here in the cards?
Not anything on the top of my head, unfortunately, listeners.
How are things going over with Future Theater Radio? I haven't really, are they back on the air? Are they putting out new shows yet or not? Or what's the deal there?
Oh, they aren't. They aren't back on the air. I don't know if they will be back on the air. I think that Bill and Nancy are are kind of at a point maybe of just taking a break. You know, they've been on radio for a while, and, you know, and they're both of them now are in their 70s, and it's hard for people, you know, when they get older to continue. I know it. And to continue to go the way they do. They are a true diesel engine with the way they did their radio shows. These people just never stopped. And I think maybe they just were getting burnt out. Bill just got done doing a book, new book now.
But, you know, kind of like the Art Bell thing, they really managed to kind of, like, they're trailblazers in some respect, I guess, right? And help open doors for other people, or at least inspire them in some ways, too. A lot of great guests, a lot of great featured material and discussion that was taking mm-hmm. place there. And I know I'd learned a lot and was an avid listener there for at least a year or so. You were helping to produce the program, were you not? Yeah. Future Theater Radio?
Yeah, I was. And it was an honor to work with him. And it's an honor to be able to, you know, call him my friend and a personal friend and, you know, somebody I look up to. Both of them I look up to. You know, but things go happen and time goes on. And, you know, so maybe they might come back around one day. But, you know, if not, it was fun when it lasted. We had some great shows. We put together some great shows. And as just all what you said, it was a complete learning experience just being around them, both of them. It's not just Bill Burns. It's Nancy Burns, too. But, you know, you're around Bill, and he's just a man in information. And every time he opens his mouth, you just stop and hear. And he's that type of guy. He's that type of voice. So, you know, it is nice to know Bill, and he's a good guy.
It actually reminds me, it makes me, you know, one of the things I wanted to kind of let people know about and just kind of make clear is that with this show that we are doing here with Pirate Radio Podcast, we don't really look for the big names. As much as we respect and like and appreciate folks like Bill and you know, or even like, you know, you name it. Just say Jim Mars, David Icke, Alex Jones, Linda Moulton Howe, all Graham Hancock, as great as they are. And, you know, I've got, you know, I like a lot of other people. I followed these personalities and individuals to, you know, just to whatever extent over the years. And you take a lot, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, people are like, disinformation agents, disinformation. Well, you know, okay. That's why you've got to be thinking, people. It's like, use your brains and don't jump to any hasty conclusions. And just kind of, you know, play it cool and just, you know, separate the good from the bad and just work with that.
That's all you can do.
We're looking mostly here with this show, and Pirate Larry knows about this, maybe James as well, too, but more the up-and-coming kind of undiscovered, you know, fresh blood, really, new voices and talents and personalities, kind of like what you're alluding to there with Bill and Nancy and others of their generation, kind of, you know, passing the torch in some ways. I'm not sure if it comes down to that exactly, even if they're, you know, not sure how much choice they're even left with, really, because we all get old and die one day, right? So that's just the fact. And your energy, your energy starts to kind of not what it used to be. Although those two characters, as an example, like they've always typically got a lot of pep and vigor, for sure. But this kind of brings me around to the whole business of John Ford, too. And yeah, people, we will get to Operation Secret Santa here in just a moment or two. But I know that both Kelly and Joe Emanon and all the other supporters of John wanted us to kind of talk about that a little bit. Bill had really, that's where I first kind of, I guess, heard about the John Ford case, was because of listening to Future Theater Radio and having you know, Bill talk about it, Bill and Nancy, once again. And we did our own show back, oh gosh, I don't know. It's back in the archives there. Do you know where things stand at the present moment with that case, Chris? Did you follow it? Have you been following it very closely or not?
No, it's me, as you kind of know my situation when I came into the UFO thing. I don't know a lot about, I know how who he was and how he died and all that. But that's just really all I know, and so that's about all I can on John Ford.
John Ford died?
Well, I don't even know if John Ford died. Maybe it's the wrong guy. See, there you go. It shows how much I know.
No, that's news to me. Jeez, I hope he hasn't. No, he's been locked up in a maximum security psychiatric institute. He's declared to be, like, criminally insane. You know, this guy, he started looking into it. The whole thing is a fiasco. The guy was railroaded. is kind of what it really looks like, frankly. And he's been really screwed over badly. So there's some, and he's been essentially incarcerated, you know, held against his will by the state, deemed to be mentally unfit to live in just, you know, society with the rest of us and not, you know, without going around and doing whatever. Just, the whole thing is just absurd and ridiculous. So, but he has a new hearing coming up here shortly, I guess, from the sounds of things. And it could go either way is what kind of we're hearing here. You know, we'd hope that they don't kick the can further down the road and kind of just warehouse the guy, I guess, and just forget about him for the next couple of years until they go through their kind of ritual, theatric, kind of circus, kangaroo court business again 2 years down the road. On top of that, yeah, there's been numerous experts that have come in now, and they've said, I think they're pretty much saying the guy is like, what's he doing here? You know, so a lot of people that come into this Brookhaven Psychiatric Institute or something along these lines, some in Long Island.
Like Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, huh?
Pretty much. Kind of along those lines, really. I mean, yeah. Guests, visitors, you know, drop by and they look at him and it's like, does he work here or what's going on? It's like, you know, he's staff, I guess. He's like, no, he's a, you know, because there's nothing wrong with the guy. You know, he was locked up. One of the main reasons is because he believed in UFOs. It's like, wait a minute. If you started locking up everyone that believed in UFOs, kind of like this business with Barrett Brown, if you started locking up everyone that shared a link, like, I mean, you know, is this just arbitrary kind of like a witch hunt kind of, you're just, you know, politically driven madness? Or
like if I would have had my encounter and called up because I didn't know and I called up the police to report it and all of a sudden they arrested me and they put me in a nut house.
Yeah, that kind of nonsense. So,
I'd be like something they do where you're at.
Do you know exactly where I'm based out of at the present moment? Although we are broadcasting, of course, from, as always, international waters. Where is it typically?
In the bar. They'd hang me in the bar.
Okay. So, I'm actually trying to find some more music here. Sal Caruso is another great, name or personality talent that's kind of come our way. And he's said to us that we can share his music as much as we like, really. There's all kinds of great stuff coming up, along the way here. So, but quickly though, Operation Secret Santa, folks, we don't have too much time here, really. And, you know, we're only going to be able to, cover just a fraction of the material that had kind of been laid out there for us today to maybe discuss. Your thoughts on Operation Secret Santa? Chris, I don't think you were too actively involved in that, but I know Pirate Larry, of course, and James was there for a while too, of course. And he actually, well, James, you'd co-hosted one of the episodes when Larry had to make his way up to San Diego for the day.
I had fun. I had fun doing Secret Santa. What was it 10 days of nonstop? No, you had one off day in between, but
did
yeah,
we really? Did we take a day off? Oh my God! Like it was intense. I mean, you, holy jeez, you tell me. We're gonna do it again next year, although we might cut it down to a week. I don't know, but that's the plan at least. This is the idea is every year we're gonna build on the successes and gains that we kind of managed to establish and just take it from there. Great tie-in with a lot of things, including some of our friends over in Minds.com. Mike, a.k.a. Minds Gaming, was really quite supportive, as was Grayland, of course, had some things to offer people there regarding his holographic sticker technology. So for people that are interested, we still got a few of those available if anyone wants to, if they're having to face these anti-smog tests with their vehicles, we have these complimentary free Secret Santa Christmas gifts valued, a market value of $250 apparently, the pop, that Grayland Industries has offered to share and make available. So we're going to kind of approach it like in a scientific sense, really, where get these levels and readings and see how effective these stickers really are. I have no idea. It's well over my head. I'm just a simple radio show host, so... There was also on top of that, we had some music lessons, Pirate Larry. Do you remember that? And James, yourself, we had 10 music lessons, I think, based via Skype that Pirate Mary had kindly offered. So still looking for a good match for her on as far as that goes, the 10 Skype-based music lessons, unless, of course, you are living out of the Boston region, where you could perhaps even meet the lady in person and see how that all goes. James, you kind of offered some kind of post-production assistance if people are looking for, if they have videos that they're looking to kind of brush up or fine-tune.
What I was offering was just basically any support towards building your alternative media brand, building your brand essentially. And I've actually helped about 3 people already with theirs, so it's running out fast. If you need any help or support, and if you want to compare something, you can look at Tyranny Unmasked, my channel, how I build that up. In just a couple of months, I've managed to double my subscription size, which is awesome. But yeah, it's that. If you need logos, you need banners, you need intros, help with maybe even background music, I can help you with the full lot. And I'm just offering that for people that may want that help. And I got about 2 slots left open for that. So grab it while it's why supplies last here.
Well, we got to have one there for Pirate Radio Podcasts, of course. Something's got to be set aside for, I mean, we definitely need help on so many fronts if we're going to work on better building the network and having it so that we can offer the public, you know, more substantive content and all kinds of good things. So we'll talk about more about that maybe like after the show or behind the scenes, maybe in the Rogues Gallery end of things here after things wrap up, if you like. Pirate Larry, what other pledges can you recall? Carolyn Rose Goida, I sent her $100 via PayPal. I think it's okay to talk about that, but she's got the animal sanctuary down there in Jefferson City, Missouri, that the authorities, they swept down and came crashing in and kicking down doors, swinging their clubs, and kind of ran her out of town. She got railroaded is kind of what it sounds like. She's pretty feisty. She deserves the help.
Yeah, there's something fishy going on there. I mean, the way she was railroaded, it's not a place I would want to move back to myself. But yeah, she's a good person and she deserves some help, and like to get her up on her feet again so she can do some podcasting, because she was touching against some areas that are pretty critical these days. And, you know, interactions with authorities that believe they have power over, you know, people's constitutional rights or power over anybody's rights. And they exercise that power and then they say, well, you know, go get an attorney, you know, and they know you're broke. So, it gets more, you know, tyrannical. You're living in, more of a militarized state, and the state can do whatever it wants to with you or any property you have, you know, and there's danger in that. There's a huge danger in that. That's a trend that some communities are exercising more and more.
Indeed, that does seem to be the case, and the, you know, average citizen needs to stay on guard, especially where things like the Unpatriot Act are concerned. In many ways, that seems to have been designed so as to not just infringe, but prey upon our most basic, an American's most basic civil rights and liberties. So, yeah, dangerous, definitely can be quite very dangerous times indeed. Not good. Especially when you have these overly, what would you say, ambitious or boisterous or just overly aggressive? A lot of these bad cops, you know, they're all juiced up and jacked up on, you know, who knows what. Cocaine, I think, is quite common.
Steroids,
yeah. So you got the roid rage, that whole business kind of factoring into things, and that doesn't lead to anything good, of course. I'm not sure what else you want to say really about Operation Secret Santa, kind of bringing it back around.
No,
go ahead.
I do want to mention Soda Soul, who takes care of animals, and she has a GoFundMe page out there, and to help her rent a little farm where she can rescue animals and take care of them. And always like to point people in that direction.
Sure.
And of course, you know, we'll post a link for John Ford where people can get active and, you know, because people really need to take action this time and tell them, you know, enough is enough. Let's let this guy out of the mental prison that they put him in just for, you know, being a UFO hunter and stumbling across something that was, that the politicians were doing that was illegal. The thing that I liked about Secret Santa is you find a lot of people, and you find a lot of people in distress and who have been, like, really, you know, beat up by the system. And then you find a lot of good people and a lot of good people who want to make sure that, you know, when they give, they're giving to something that they know, something that they can trust, and not just giving to the, you know, to the Red Cross who raises, I don't know, $50 billion and only puts up, what, 5 houses in Haiti or whatever that scandal is.
You're talking the Clinton Crime Syndicate is what it sounds like, the Clinton Foundation. Slush Fund, a slush fund for grifters is what, how Roger Stone basically describes that whole, that old con, you know, that whole flim-flam kind of con job that they've got running there. So, yeah, that's quite something. My God. Anyways, okay, well, yeah, Secret Santa, and, you know, we got to, we're working, that's one of the reasons we'd like to take the, maybe this coming week off, is we can have more time to kind of really get our house in order and lay it out there for people, exactly what is being offered and who they can contact and how that can be done. And so on and so forth. But, just a quick shout out here too, of course, to a lot of our long time listeners, ones we haven't mentioned yet. Nathan Chilpatti, actually via, Facebook, has been a fan and, follower of the show for a while now. In fact, he was, the little character we have there with the QR code for, which actually, it's the way it's configured, leads back to the old website where we have our earlier shows archived. PirateRadioPodcast.com. It's a website, I think a domain name that Pirate Aaron kind of quietly helps to oversee. But yeah, he's what he's thought about Nathan is that, like, we should give a name to that little pirate character. I think Daniel actually, Satori D, helped put that little guy together, just the artwork end of things and whatnot. So. But we could actually maybe run a contest to, see who can come up with the best name or something along those lines. Even maybe offer a little pirate coin, a cyber currency kind of, way of saying thank you, I guess, really. So maybe, Chris, that's probably something you haven't heard about, but yeah, we're actually working on over the next year, essentially, to managing to bring online our own pirate coin, basically, that we can share with people, a virtual kind of cyber currency. So that's really exciting, of course. Looking forward to seeing how, you know, if we manage to actually get that off the ground or not. We've had some people, not only from the advisory end of things, but just people that have actually reached out and said, you know, we're ready to do this. So let's get the show on the road. So. Yeah, once again, very, very interesting. But that, I'm not sure if you know much about that or not, but you can actually offer people just kind of complimentary coin as a token gesture. And whether it actually has any value at some point down the road or not is another story. But look at Bitcoin. I mean, these people, what is it, Pirate Larry, handing out? I mean, James, you might even know about this too, of course, but paying for pizza with like 100 Bitcoin or something, which now it's like $1 million or something like that. Any of you guys heard about that one?
Bitcoin's around $500, $500 to $600. When the Chinese come,
yeah,
then Bitcoin goes up to like $900, $1,000.
Right.
And then the Chinese out, and then Bitcoin goes down to like $500, $600.
Interesting.
This is what I've seen so far.
So there's been Chinese investors kind of showing an interest or becoming more engaged and active with Bitcoin.
Well, the thing is, with China, it's because they have massive farms where they farm Bitcoin like crazy in China.
Right. Sure. The mines, kind of the digital mining, I guess, right? Where they have all the big servers.
And the more you flood the market with the product, the less valuable the product is, right?
So it would seem, yeah. So yeah, that's why it's you from time to time you release, you know, just you make a wider number of your currency available to the general public, and just kind of incremental steps, I'd imagine. You don't want to be too rash, or it's going to totally, you know, as you say, flood and just kind of open the gates, because it'll totally devalue your currency. Of course, wouldn't be too good, not for the from the investors' standpoint, but maybe the competition would think that was they would like to see that happen. But so yeah, all kinds of great things coming here that we've got in the works, including, you know, a real life superhero show. How about that? You know, I'm not sure if anyone, a few of our listeners probably have heard about these people that go out, they work with the homeless and people living on the streets and that sort of thing. They sometimes wear masks and capes and costumes and take on a bit of a role. They're a bit of a character, I guess, you know, even to the point where some have body armor and that sort of thing, I guess. Well, that's, I guess, for those that are, if they're patrolling the streets and trying to, like, do crime fighting on the street level, which kind of you would think, if, you know, you would imagine gets a little dicey from time to time, find yourself in a tight spot there that, you know, and have to apply very skillful means in managing to kind of extract yourself from without anybody getting too hurt, of course. So has anyone heard about these so-called real-life superheroes?
Nobody. I did see that. Well, no, I was trying to unplug there. I did see the guy on the streets of, I don't know what city it was, dressed up as like a superhero, running around trying to be like a little Batman crime fighter. I don't know if you know which guy I'm talking about, but there was, I wanted to say Chicago or New York or something like that, like one of the big city.
He was a bit of a beer drinker, wasn't he?
Maybe there was something going on there, and he would dress up in this suit, like Batman kind of a suit, real fancy one. I mean, it looked like he put a lot of work into it, right off of a movie set type of deal. And he would run around and be a little vigilante, and would catch people doing bad things, and then would be the, you know, under citizen's arrest, the citizen superhero.
Well, how about
but
that?
I believe you're right on the drinking. I think something happened that he had gotten something happened to him, or he got in trouble.
It does happen from time to time. Yeah, you've got to be careful how you go about dealing with either street criminals or just any situation you find yourself a part of. It can get a little tough, a little tricky there for sure. So I don't think anyone's got too badly hurt to this point. There hasn't been any big stories that I'm familiar with. So, yeah, I think I know the guy you're talking about, actually. And there's a few documentaries you can find on YouTube. And there's a little underground network of these people that they kind of take their job somewhat seriously. Well, you remember back in the day they had, what was it, the Guardian Angels out of New York City? People they put on the berets and kind of
I remember.
Kind of a, this is a street watch, kind of just, you know, wanting, just making sure everyone's okay, no one's getting messed over too badly. And I'm not sure if they actually shut down
the
muggings, and maybe it's some, I'm not sure if like if people are like dealing, you know, drugs out on the streets or what have you, if they would go so far as to like have them busted or rat them out, as it were. It's like, it's nothing like, you would imagine if it's like right there out on the street, it's nothing that if the police were really that interested that they couldn't stop themselves. So it kind of makes you wonder why they're not, maybe why they're not doing their jobs or what have you. But mostly, though, I think what, you know, our focus is really just on helping the homeless and feeding the street people and people that are kind of just out there on the fringes, basically. Along the lines of what Food Not Bombs, Larry, you know a little bit about that outfit and what they've run up against recently down there in Florida, I guess, where they're being, other places too, probably across America, they're being locked up for trying to help fight the hunger issue in America.
Orlando, Tampa Bay. I mean, you know, they'll set up a kitchen and they'll start handing out plates, and then the cops will show up and arrest them. Take the food, leave the homeless hungry. This is a stupidity of city government, county government. What happens is you'll have some guy in risk management. okay, he's being paid $150,000 a year as a risk manager, something along that level. And he says, oh, we can't have that. What if somebody poisoned the food? What if somebody put rat poison in the food, right? And so the city has a policy that says, oh, we can't let people feed people because somebody might put rat poison in the food. So they go and arrest these people. And, you know, the whole thing is, if you're going to be homeless, don't be homeless here. Be homeless someplace else because we don't want you. And so you have throwaway people, you know, and you have people who are trying to help. They're thrown away, too. The reason it's absurd is because for the money they're spending, you know, they could hire a food tester to go out and test the damn food. I mean, they just hire a food tester from county health, have them go out and, test the food and go, okay, this is, you know, there's no poison in it. It's edible. We got, you know, test bag. It's fine. There's no salmonella. There's no nothing in this.
But there could be, there's maybe somebody's putting razor blades into the kids' Halloween candy. It's possible. You know, it might happen, potentially. And, so, yeah, risk management, I guess, right? And just the absurdity of, I think as you...
The fact of the matter is that more people die from government regulations than could have been prevented from less regulations in the first place from experimental medicines and dietary supplements, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a proven fact.
How about that?
More people die because, okay, so these regulations save maybe like 1,000 to 2,000 lives a year, which in the contrary, you could save hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives of all these different things, drugs, supplements, or maybe even just cannabis because of the government regulations. Less government regulations is the best way to go. Maybe because I'm a libertarian or maybe because I look at facts. I don't know.
It seems to make sense to me, you know, what you're saying there for sure. So typically what it seems is that when these policies are put in place, they are serving some special, generally elite kind of insider interest. And with all the graft and the kickbacks, of course, which are just kind of standard fare to the world of politics at pretty much whatever level or location you're looking at, the nature of the beast. That's not good, obviously, unless you're the one on the receiving end and you're totally cashing in on it all and taking it to the bank. We're almost at the end of the show here, folks. I'm not sure if there's any, there's so much more material, of course, that we could have hit on here today and discussed, but we're going to maybe take things back over to the Rogues Gallery, the kind of more the behind the scenes, the back end of things, and pick up our discussion from where we left off here. Any last little comments or things that you want maybe people to know about, Chris, James, Pirate Larry? Really kind of key, or just reflecting upon the year, what we've accomplished. I mean, we really didn't get into that too much today, unfortunately, but I guess that's just the way it goes. I think personally, I think we've done a lot, of course, a lot of great stuff, and all over the course of a year, there's a lot more to come, hopefully, and who knows how far we could really take it. I think it's pretty exciting, though, and myself definitely looking forward to watching things grow, putting together quality content that we can be really happy and proud of, which is not really a word I use too often, this business of pride and so forth, because the flip side of that is the shame end of things, and I don't know. I'm just not one for this pride and shame thing necessarily. It kind of depends on one situation to the next. But, you know, pretty happy for sure what we've done to this point. And I think it's just, it's only going to get better. Looking at our last show that we did just recently with Thomas Sheridan, wow, that went over really well, actually. And right off the mark there, we had hundreds of views via YouTube, which is not necessarily always the case. Up until that point, I think, we had William Ramsey was our biggest feature attraction, as it were, and he's got, I think, over 700 views now on YouTube. And of course, there's the whole, which is something we don't promote, just to make it clear and let listeners know that really our main focus is on the MP3 audio, the post-production end of things, and the way that we kind of format and kind of structure our content as far as all that goes. The YouTube is mostly just you know, streaming and having the live kind of interactive conversation and discussion with listeners. So people that are following us here. Yeah, Curtis Sliwa, I think that's right, Joe Emanon, as far as the head of the Guardian Angels out of New York City there back in the late 70s, maybe early 80s. Kelly Freeman chiming in here that for him it was definitely a great year. And even there's others as well saying that regarding John Ford, that what they need is they need the Robin Hood sent in there to maybe help set things straight and see that justice is actually served, not simply the legal system running roughshod over people such as Mr. Ford. As far as all of that goes, I'm not sure. Is there anything, once again, this is your last chance, folks. We're just going to kind of wind things down here, and I think I've had my fill of grog for the day. Anything, just quickly, though?
I don't have anything really much to say. I could say that congratulations, and I'm glad that you made it this to your 50th show, and I'm glad to be part of one of those 50th shows. And I hope you have another 250,000 more shows.
Yeah, I don't think we're up in the Art Bell kind of with the daily kind of deal, or the way that these people pump these Joe Rogan, or I mean, who else? The Caravan to Midnight, some other kind of big names that you know, they've got what they put together on a daily basis. But no, we're happy right now just with once a week, and maybe we'll get a couple more there squeezed in from time to time. But yeah, thanks, Chris. That's appreciated very much, and I think we're kind of in a position now to maybe do something like that. So we're going to try to end things here today with Sean Pollock, if we can find him on YouTube. Otherwise, we're going to have to just do something maybe a little after the fact. We, of course, have been streaming live here from the Howling Wolf Inn over the course of the last hour and a half or so. Not sure if we're going to be back with anything next week, as far as our weekly our show or podcast is concerned. Larry, is there, do you think, how's it looking just ref, you know, for the time being as far as doing something next week? Do you think it's best to maybe just, the captain has totally given us a green light there to take the week off if that's what we want to do. What do you figure?
I think at this point we may need to do it. There's a carnival coming up in Ensenada, so you may need to take the week off.
Ah, all right. So that's kind of what we could be looking at here. Doing a quick search here, trying to wrap things up. This is amazing. I'm not going to be able to find that link for Sean Pollock, unfortunately. That's a little puzzling. But all right, folks. Well, we will catch you on the flip side then. I think what we're going to do here is maybe turn to Matt Steady once again. Another cut from his Feels Like Coming Home release. Little something called One More Round. Until we meet again out of the high digital seas. I'm the Robin Hood's Chief Communications Officer, Jaffe Ryder, signing off.
God knows what. It's all just colors and shapes to me. Static on the radio seems to make more sense. Kisses and crackles, but it seems to be free. Something to do, chain smoking through the haze, hacking away to light up the same. Another shot of whiskey from a paper cup. Memories fail, but the feelings remain. Pass the bottle across. One more round. One more round. The cylinder spins and the bullet goes round. Pick up the gun, the future's unknown and can wait. No one lives forever, we're all on death row. This game, it just gives control back to my face. The chamber moves on. One more round. One more round. Hang the fear. Step into the ring. The dance begins. Brutal but still full of grace. Knock down in the first, get back up and take a deep breath. Your opponent's yourself, not the man that you face. Redemption awaits. One more round. One more round. Oh, 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 one more round. 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 One more round.